Hi. For the program, our first group, as you can tell, is the Seattle Labor Chorus. And intermittently throughout this program, we are going to be honoring local people who are heroes of resistance. So every interspersed, every two or three speakers, you'll hear an honor for the local persons. Okay, thank you, and we'll begin.
We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We'll put an end to bigotry. Hand holding hand. Hand holding hand. Hand holding hand. We'll put an end to bigotry. Hand holding hand. Hand holding hand. Hand holding hand. There's enough for all of us. Peace will prevail. Peace will prevail. Peace will prevail. There's enough for all of us. Peace will prevail. Peace will prevail. Peace will prevail. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up on peace. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started.
All right, let's give it up for the Seattle Labor Chorus one more time. We have a speaker coming up, and as we are awaiting her, I'd like to share a fact that the Washington Post ABC poll taken this week showed that two-thirds of the country is opposed to the continuation of the war in Afghanistan, 79% of all Democrats, and 50% of all Republicans oppose the continuation of this war. So our next speaker, who's going to get up here right now, is Emma Kaplan from The World Can't Wait.
So I was talking to somebody out here earlier, and I asked her, what brought you out today? And she said, because this has just been going on too long. 8 years of occupation of Iraq, 8 years of killing civilians, 8 years of bombing hospitals, 8 years of torture, destroying infrastructure. This is outrageous. And I just want to say that just because this has been going on since some of us were children doesn't make it any less illegitimate, immoral, or unjust. In fact, it makes it even more urgent that we stop this now. Even if it's Obama who's the one that's doing it. Now, right now, I want all of us to try and deeply feel what it's like for the Iraqis, what it's going to be like for the Iraqis to suffer another 365 days of this blood-soaked devastation and what it's meant to their lives. 4 million people have been driven from their homes. 1 million dead. Journalists are now detained and beaten and tortured, if not outright murdered at the hands of the U.S. military, as we saw in WikiLeaks. Women now have fewer rights under Saddam. Hadi al-Mahdi, who was a journalist who was beaten and tortured by Iraqi forces trained by the U.S., said that his experience now was worse than the times that he was detained and brutalized under Saddam Hussein. Think about what this means. People are saying life is worse there now, not better. When we march today in over 40 actions around the city, including in Washington, D.C., let us keep this in our minds and in our hearts. And then let's put that together with what has been going on, and at the same time and at the hands of the same criminal masters of war and empire for the people of Afghanistan and of Yemen and Somalia. And now they're starting a new war on Libya. And of course, they say it's to save civilians. I call bullshit. Are we supposed to believe that the same country that's done all this to Iraq and Afghanistan, with their invasions, their torture, their coups, their destruction of the planet, we're supposed to believe that they could ever do anything to liberate humanity? No good can come from U.S. imperialist intervention of any kind. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be this way. It's just the way it is now, because we have not yet stood up with enough numbers and sufficient determination to back down the forces of empire and repression. Some people say that people in this country will never change, that they're too complacent. Well, guess what? They're wrong. The people of Tunisia and Egypt showed us that there is no guarantee that brutal dictatorships last forever, even when they are backed by the most powerful military in the world. And the public workers and students of Wisconsin has surprised everyone in massing for weeks against an attempt to break them by those grouped by the Republican Party. The people of the Middle East and those of the heartland in this country too have surprised everyone by waking up. The blood-soaked, unjust occupation of Iraq, the war on people in Afghanistan, the torture, the rendition, the secret sites, the repression, Obama's indefinite detention, and the repression against Muslim and anti-war activists, it's all growing worse. And I know it seems permanent, but none of the crimes of our government are permanent. And I'll tell you what, I think if the Egyptian people can drive out a regime that ruled for 30 years and 17 days, then damn it, we can stop these wars! And so today is not just another anniversary. Today we're going into the streets on this anniversary with a new sense of the potential power the people can bring to bear when they rise up in massive resistance, independent political action, uncaged by the system's mainstream politics as usual. Today, let's call out to the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and all the other countries being hammered by our government. And let's let them know that we're not going to be fooled, that we're filled with determination to bring many more people that will help to end these crimes. All of them. And we are determined to get to a place where freedom and liberation mean something real. The future is unwritten. Which one we get is up to us. The world still can't wait. Thanks.
Thank you, Emma. Our next speaker is Mike Kearney, one of the founding members of Seattle Vets for Peace Chapter 92. And here he is.
Okay, greetings to all from Veterans for Peace. What a great day for a rally, a war protest, and a celebration. So much has changed since last year's event here, and a lot of this has been positive and much more of it very dangerous. There even seem to be more of us here now. Are we perhaps taking a cue from our gutsy brothers and sisters in Tunisia and Egypt, Libya and Bahrain and Wisconsin? I'm a Cold War Army vet from the Vietnam era, and I was a pretty patriotic guy. My brother Al Penta here tells me I've never been a pretty anything. Take a bow, Al. Oh, he's on the floor. That wasn't because of me. But in 1970, the invasion of Cambodia, quickly followed by massacres at Kent State and Jackson State universities in the USA, finally opened my eyes, and I came over to the right side, which happens to be the left side. I know many of you have traveled a similar road. In those days, one of the most effective parts of the anti-war machinery was the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, which I joined with my then roommate, Mike Diedrich, who went on to become regional coordinator for Washington and Alaska. After victory in that conflict, victory for the Vietnamese, that is, the peace movement in this country has never totally died out. And I believe that one of the most effective elements of it today stands with the Veterans for Peace, which was formed in 1985 and now has members in every state and a formal alliance with Korean Veterans for Peace. I will close now with a reading of the mission statement of Veterans for Peace, which is brief and to the point. If I can find it here. We, having dutifully served our nation, do hereby affirm our greater responsibility to serve the cause of world peace. And to this end, we will work with others toward increasing public awareness of the cost of war, to restrain our government from intervening overtly and covertly in the internal affairs of other nations, to end the arms race, and to reduce and eventually eliminate nuclear weapons, to seek justice for veterans and victims of war, to abolish war as an instrument of national policy. To achieve these goals, members of Veterans for Peace pledge to use nonviolent means and to maintain an organization that is both democratic and open, with the understanding that all members are trusted to act in the best interests of the group for the larger purpose of world peace. We urge all people who share this vision to join us. Peace to you all, and thank you.
This is our first person that we are honoring for their dedicated resistance to the war. You're all familiar with his name. It's Bert Sachs. Now, Bert lived... he lived the good life in California for many, many years. But in 1996... he went with a group from Voices of Wilderness to Iraq. From then on, he's been a resistant fighter of the war. His group donated $40 million for medicine for children, and our government responded by fining the group. They fined Bert a lot of money, and he is still fighting that case and welcomes it as an opportunity to be a speaker for peace. The next time you will have a chance to give your support to Bert is September 19th, 2011. That is when his civil suit will take place. His website is Fine for Helping Iraqi Kids. Go to it. Help him any way you can. And the last I have to say about him is that he is committed peace activist here in Seattle. His peacemaking efforts have taken him to Iraq 9 times. And so we honor and salute Bert Sachs this moment here at this rally. He is an inspiration to us all and a member of Finney Neighbors for Peace.
All right. I wanted to make an announcement that people should know, in case you don't know, that Libya is being attacked now by France. So if you didn't know, we just wanted to make sure that you understood that. And that, we have many signs here of different organizations. If you want to hold a sign about Libya, I think it's very apropos. I'd like to bring up our next speaker. Her name is Allison Bodine. She is the co-chair of the Mobilization Against War and Occupation in Vancouver, BC. And some of you may remember Allison from a few years ago. She joined us here in Seattle and was instrumental in organizing one of these anniversary demonstrations at a time when she had been banned from Canada. She's a U.S. citizen, banned from Canada for political reasons. She is back back now, able to, her ban is over, so her brothers and sisters in Mawo in Vancouver are glad to have her back. We're glad to have her back just for the day here in Seattle. And so please give Allison a warm welcome.
Hello, everyone. It's very good to be back here today, to still be on the streets with all of you protesting against the war on Iraq, the continued war on Afghanistan, and the war that has just begun today against Libya. We are here for mobilization against war and occupation as your brothers and sisters to join together across the U.S.-Canada border in the fight against war and occupation. We have a table. If anyone wants more information, please come over and see us. We are distributing a newsletter that has more information about who we are and what we do. But really, what we are here today to do is to be in solidarity with all of you. I grew up in the United States. I got involved with organizing in the invasion of Afghanistan, especially when I was in high school during the invasion of Iraq. And I don't want to be here for another year protesting against the war on Iraq and the continued war in Afghanistan. I don't think any of us want to be here, but it's important that we are here today and that we're able to unite across that border. The Canadian government is fully in support of imperialist war and occupation. They are fully in support of the continued occupation of Afghanistan, and we are demonstrating monthly in front of the Canadian Forces Recruitment Center to demand Canadian troops out of Afghanistan. But what I want to talk about today is the fact that the UN Security Council, a criminal tool of the U.S. war machine, has voted to bring another sovereign country into the bloodbath. The U.S., U.K., Canada, and France, and all other imperialist countries have declared war on the people of Libya with their recent resolution and the attacks that began today. This resolution is not to bring democracy or human rights to the Libyan people, because no precious human values mean anything to imperialist powers, as we have seen with Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam. The killing of more than 100 people in, more than a million people in Rwanda, a million people in Vietnam, over 1 million in Iraq just since 2003, and hundreds of thousands of more people from Pakistan to Palestine to Somalia to Latin America. They are crying crocodile tears for the Libyan people with their eyes on the resources of Libya. All the while, they continue to support the suppression of protesters for self-determination and human rights in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain. Over the last 2 months, the balance of forces in the Middle East and North Africa has shifted in favor of the masses of poor and oppressed people and away from imperialist hegemony in the region. And we have to recognize that, because we are out here today with those millions of people that demonstrated in Egypt, in Tunisia, and continue to demonstrate today. And we all must join together here and beyond today to condemn this new war drive. We must abandon any illusion that there might be anything progressive about imperialist intervention in Libya. Don't attack Libya. All imperialists out of the Middle East and Africa. Thank you. And thank you all to all the wonderful organizers of today. Let's continue to unite across borders.
Give her another hand. In the early morning hours of November 2nd, 2009, five people entered the base at Bangor, Washington. They were there to protest the illegality and immorality of the Trident weapon system. The five people were Sister Ann Montgomery, Bill Bixbischel, Susan Crane, Lynn Greenwald, and Steve Kelly. Today we are honored to have Bill Bixel, who's been in jail 45 times for freedom. We greatly honor his effort, and he has actually spent 2 years in prison for protesting U.S. military forces. So we welcome Bill, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a deep honor to be here in this practice of peace. And that's what it is, a practice of peace, using the rights of the soul that we have to walk and talk and march against imperialism, against war. We're in our 70th year of military spending. We're in our 70th year of a war economy. We're in our 70th year of preparing constantly for war. We have to start practicing peace. We have to start being people of peace completely. And at times, this will mean changes in our own lives. It'll mean things that we have to forego. But we have to be it. We have to not only practice peace, we have to be peace. And there is that possibility here with all of us. It is the strongest force that can unite us and bring us together. There are five of us that Karen just mentioned. Susan Crane is here with me, one of our co-defendants. Susan, would you raise, where are you? Yeah, there's Susan. All right. All right. There were five of us. Basically, what we did after discerning this for a while, knowing that the military budget in this country has continued taking over all of the spending, that now the Trident submarine base, the Trident submarine, that they for we're going to be protected by that up until 2080. $180 billion is going to go in for replacement of the Trident fleet that we now have, the 14 Tridents that we have now, with a new set of it. That's on the board already to go, as well as all the military spending that's going in, that's closing schools, bringing health care to a screeching halt to anybody, and destroying jobs, whatever it happens. It is a terrible infection. The five of us, after discerning, cut through the perimeter fence of the Trident submarine base. We were on the base about 4 hours. And then we followed roads that we found on the Google map there inside the base itself. And finally, wanting to make our way to Swift Pack, that strategic area where the weapons are stored, Strategic Weapons Pacific. And that's where probably the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the Western Hemisphere, certainly in the world, or possibly in the world, is stored. So we made our way gradually to that place of death, that place of hopelessness. And there it's protected by double fences, two fences separated about 20 feet apart. We cut through the first one. It was a lethal force authorized zone. We expected helicopters, dogs, something. Nothing happened. We cut through that fence and then the second fence. And by that time, then the Marines did arrive. But we were inside. We couldn't believe it ourselves that we got that far, penetrating probably about 50 feet from where the nuclear weapons are stored in bunkers. We want people to know these things are there. We want people to know, are we going to let this pile of death there? You know, we had a former bishop, Archbishop of Seattle, Archbishop Humphausen, once referred to the Trident submarine program as the Auschwitz of the Northwest. And, you know, I can honestly say that we have to look at it in those terms. If we look at it, those fences that we cut through, would we, back in the time of Auschwitz, would we let people there on the other side of the fence? What would we do? And I think we have to ask ourselves, what would we do with people we knew are going to their death? I think, though, at this time when it's tremendously important for us to resist, to practice peace, and to practice peace means, as Gandhi says, we not only have to do good, but we have to resist evil. And we have to do that, and we have to become people of peace. That's what joins us together. It means that there might be sacrifices in our lives. There might be changes in our lives. We might have to forego things. We may no longer return the insult for insult, the blow for blow. But to trust in our own imaginations, trust in our own ability to be creative, to bring peace, and have to hope in that great power that we do have. As our other speakers have mentioned, there is great power in our joining together, in our voices being together. And that's it, to be peace. Thank you.
I want to save the date. March 28th is the day to show your support for the Plowshares 5 in Tacoma. At 8 o'clock will be a vigil. 9 o'clock is the sentencing hearing. Again, that's March 28th. Be there in Tacoma at 8 o'clock. And flyers are being passed out now to give you the information because there is a full week of activities. Thank you.
Thanks. I'd like to call up our next speaker. And as I'm doing so, I'd like to honor a local person who made the ultimate sacrifice in resisting war and occupation. This week would mark the 8th anniversary of her death. And that individual is Rachel Corey. As many of you know, she was killed by a Caterpillar tractor driven by the Israeli Defense Forces as it was demolishing the home of innocent Palestinians in the occupied territories. And her family, her parents, Cindy and Craig Corey, are dedicated activists in our community who've done so much and have been so courageous. At this point, I'd like to bring up Ibrahim Saoudi, who is an activist in our community, very dedicated individual. He is originally from Egypt, and he will be sharing with us some words of wisdom.
When I first came to North America, I heard the song that says, walk like an Egyptian. I went quickly on the street to see how people are walking, and then I thought, oh, I walk the same way. What is it with Egypt? I am standing here like an Egyptian, truly like an Egyptian. And you are standing the same way. There is no difference. You are the dedicated people who truly show me what America is. America is not George W. Bush or Obama bin Laden. America is you. You are the true Americans. Yeah. The situation in the Middle East is not settled. I am personally not celebrating the events in Egypt yet because we are in a transition zone, and we know that the imperialists in America are trying to use that period to establish their bases again and take control. But we are paying attention, and hopefully we will not be fooled. Clinton can go take photos with people in Tahrir Square, and at the same time, John McCain and Joe Lieberman are also standing in Tahrir Square taking photos. I think the right place for them to take photos is to come and standing here with you and do what is good for you. We know in the Middle East what is good for us. They need to listen to you and do what's good for you. And speaking of that, John Ribb is here, and he and Cindy Cole are really driving a good project in Washington here to take the power away from Wall Street bankers. If you want to fix the system here, take the power away from the Wall Street bankers. The government in the United States, the federal government, and the state governments also are nothing but tools in the hands of special interests, and those are the bankers as well as the military industrial complex and the big corporations. I hope that you will rise against that and take the power away from them. And one project we are working on here, like I said, John Rabe and Cindy Cole are leading that, is the establishment of a state bank or an alternative banking system to serve the people people, not the big bankers. It's wrong that people are losing their jobs and their homes while Goldman Sachs is giving away $160 billion of bonuses to its people in 3 months. That's just wrong. And by the way, and this is the last thing I will say, there are more police officers around you here, the people who are asking for peace, than on Wall Street surrounding Goldman Sachs. And thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right, I actually have an announcement. First of all, we are very excited today that we're going to have Jim Page performing for us. However, don't get too excited yet because he is stuck in traffic. So he's on his way, and so we're just going to keep kind of going and stick around. We're going to get to hear him eventually, which means Jim Bickler, Jim, you're going to need to move forward up in the program. So, Jim, please report. From James Bickler from the Seattle Anti-Imperialist Coalition, and please give him a warm welcome.
On this bloody anniversary, the Seattle Anti-Imperialist Committee condemns the 8-year nightmare that our government has brought to our Iraqi sisters and brothers, as well as its escalating slaughter of Afghans and Pakistanis. And now we must condemn the US-UN war on Libya while also supporting the people's uprising against the Gaddafi dictatorship. As a contingent of the International Army of Labor, we pledge continued work to politically isolate the US imperialist ruling class to the maximum, thus preparing the conditions to overthrow it. This requires mass exposures that the U.S. foreign policy is conducted in the interests of Wall Street and U.S. multinational corporations. They want to control markets and natural resources, exploit foreign labor, secure spheres of influence against rivals, and to have military bases to keep imperial order. But the bipartisanship of this imperialism needs also to be exposed. The so-called war on terror was bipartisan from the beginning. When the Democrats took Congress in 2006, they continued to fund Bush's wars just as before. And now Obama has escalated and expanded the Afghan war and is passing bigger war budgets than Bush's ever were. And look at this administration's morality. It's charging 23-year-old soldier Bradley Manning with capital crimes for exposing some of the U.S.'s international criminality. They've tried to break him by holding him in isolation for 8 months and then stripped him naked, even forcing him to stand naked for daily inspections. This is right out of the CIA torture manual, and Carrie and Obama publicly defends it. Obama also just gave an executive order officially keeping the Guantanamo Bay torture chamber open, kangaroo courts and all. So torture, wars, and preparation for new wars is all the Democrats or Republicans offer. More and more people are therefore concluding that the anti-war movement must be built independent of and against both parties of capital. This is only going to strengthen our movement. Meanwhile, all across North Africa and the Middle East, people are rising up against impoverishment, neoliberal economic policies, and dictatorships supported by U.S. and European imperialisms. Decades-old political realities are suddenly being broken up by self-sacrificing struggles involving millions of people. This includes Iraq, where 60,000 people have braved threats, arrests, beatings, and U.S.-supplied bullets fired by U.S.-trained soldiers in their February 25th day of rage. This great uprising is inspiring oppressed people everywhere to step up their own fights against imperialism as well as domestic reaction. Walk like an Egyptian was even raised in the Wisconsin demonstrations of over 100,000 people against budget cutting and attacks on public workers. Indeed, through steadfast political work, we can all help bring on our own days of rage in this country where our real enemies are. Down with Obama's wars! Down with U.S. imperialism! Workers of the world, unite!
All right, thank you, James. I'd like to introduce my co-MC today, Karen Jones, from the Snow Coalition, Sound Nonviolent Opponents of War, and also Finney Neighbors for Peace, will be speaking with us. Please give her a welcome.
Thanks. Well, when I was thinking about this event and all that has been going on in the past 2 weeks from Egypt and all the Middle Eastern countries, also in the South, in South America with so many countries opposing neoliberalism and electing indigenous people for their leaders, I think, and what's going on in Wisconsin, this is the TUM, Time of Useful Consciousness. We have a great opportunity right now to continue this work and to rebuild and re-educate the peace movement and get us moving. Today, in Washington, D.C., Vets for Peace are chaining themselves to the fence to oppose Obama's war. Tomorrow they will be in Quantico to oppose what's happening to Bradley Manning. And we are here today to say no more occupation and to say it over and over. Say it now. End the wars. End the military-industrial complex. The tentacles of the military-industrial complex stretch throughout the world in 800 and some bases. Every state, including our own, thousands and thousands of jobs are dependent on the military. That needs to be overthrown. The time of useful consciousness is the seconds we have before we are destroyed by this. We are already in Wisconsin and here in our state seeing the coming of strangulation financially. Naomi Klein. What's her word? Anyway, we're seeing that. We are in debt in our state. Our deficit is around $5 billion, latest statement. Well, how much are we spending in every day on war? $270 million, $2 billion every month. We have the money. We have the money to fully fund schools, education, and health programs. We have it. And we want our tax dollars to be used for the people. We work hard, we pay our taxes, and it's going to the billionaires. It's going to the military-industrial complex. We hear, and I have some reasons that we're supposed to stay, that there's going to be a withdrawal in 2011 from Iraq, no more combat troops. Well, why are we training those police? Why are we training them? Is it because we did so well with the School of the Americas? If we were going to leave soon, what about the permanent bases? Are we spending billions of dollars on them just to leave them for the people? We're so kind. No. We're here to say basta. Withdraw now. And supposedly, we're making Iraq and Afghanistan safer. On March 1st, 9 boys aged 8 to 12 were gunned down by 2 helicopter gunships as they were gathering wood in the forest of Afghanistan. Shot methodically, one by one. 1,800 children have lost their lives in Afghanistan in the past 2 years. That's why we're here, to say no more dead children in our names. This week, 93 members of Congress voted to end the war in 2011. Representative Inslee and McDermott voted for this. However, Nancy Pelosi and 391 other folks voted to continue the war. Do they represent our views? Do they represent the American people? No. 72% of Americans want to speed up the withdrawal from Afghanistan. So who wants to keep it going? The military. Okay, so we're nearing the end of the rally, and I wanted to say that there's a lot more we can do after this. We have all the major peace groups are doing actions to bring the billions home. VFP has, how's the war economy working for you? Military families speak out, true cost of war. American Friends Service, Code Pink, all want the billions home, our troops home, occupation ended. Here in Seattle, Western Washington 4 has Bring Our Billions Home campaign. Plug into it. John Rep is passing out flyers. Go to their website. I think they are meeting on Tuesday. So we're going to build our resistance. We're going to keep going. It's not ending today. And one more thing. On the helicopter gunships that killed those children, they are building 120 more in Colorado Springs. That needs to stop. We're wasting 700—where is my last thing? Oh, I wanted to quote from Chris Hedges about why he attended the rally. He says, and he's one of our national heroes, it matters that those of us who believe in the rule of law, who find the organized sadism of war and militarism repugnant, and who seek to protect the sanctity of life, rise up. To do nothing, to refuse to act, is to be an agent of injustice and to be complicit. Well, we're not going to refuse to act. We're going to keep it going. Thank you. Hey, and I am honored to introduce Jane of Answer. She will speak, and she's worked tirelessly on this event. So we thank her very much for all her hard work in putting this together. Thank you, Jane, and welcome.
Thank you, everybody. One thing I wanted to talk about briefly was that I think we all extend our solidarity. Our thoughts are going out to our brothers and sisters in Japan who have just experienced not only an earthquake and a tsunami, but are now facing a nuclear crisis as well. We recognize that in Japan, like in the United States, the privately owned corporations own the nuclear power plants, and they work hand in glove with the government to maximize profits while putting safety second. Here in the U.S., 25% of the 100-plus nuclear reactors that are online presently are exactly the same model as the one that is melting down partially or fully in Japan today. And we know that the United States government developed nuclear power for the purpose of war. The Manhattan Project built the atomic bombs that devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, and it was created at public expense. Having developed nuclear power at public expense, they turned this technology over to private corporations like GE and others, whose only goal is to make a profit and not to protect our communities and the environment. So we demand that it needs to be taken out of the hands of these private profiteers and put under the control of the people who can decide whether it's safe or not. I also want to reiterate what I think a lot of other people have said, that we oppose any U.S. or UN intervention, bombing campaign, sanctions, or no-fly zone that targets Libya, or really any other country for that matter. You don't have to agree with the policies of Gaddafi government, which in recent years, in fact, has been characterized by a move towards the acceptance of neoliberal capitalist methods and an accommodation with imperialism. You don't have to agree with that or support it in any way in order to recognize that a U.S., NATO, or U.N. intervention into Libya is not going to liberate the people of Libya any more than the U.S. invasion of Iraq, which killed over a million Iraqis and ruined their country, any more than that invasion liberated the people of Iraq. Right? Oh, and it didn't bring them a more democratic or humane government than they had before. So, and one thing I want to point out, let's not forget, what is Libya sitting on top of? Libya is oil. Libya is the greatest oil producer of oil on the continent of Africa. When the U.S. intervenes and occupies a country, whether it's under a humanitarian pretext or to supposedly to defend somebody's independence and freedom, the fact of the matter is the U.S. military rarely or ever leaves that occupied country. 110 years ago, the U.S. Invaded Cuba on the pretext of supporting their liberation movement against Spain. And guess what? They stayed there until 1959 when they were kicked out by a revolution. But even today, the U.S. is occupying Cuba with the Guantanamo naval base. That's right. How often do you think about it that that is in Cuba, where people are imprisoned, denied their rights, and subjected to torture? Not only should Guantanamo be closed down, but the U.S. military forces should get out of Guantanamo, out of Cuba, and we also believe they should get out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and the other 130 countries that are occupied by U.S. military forces. And we, the people of the United States, should definitely, absolutely oppose any U.S. military intervention in Libya or anywhere else. Thank you. All right, our final speaker, and so it's going to be Josh Simpson. He's an Iraq war veteran. He's an activist with Coffee Strong and GI Voice. And I just want to say before he starts speaking, we are going to start marching when he's done speaking. And so we're going to be gathering up here. Veterans, you need to be, veterans who are leading the march, you need to be getting into position.
Jim Page is here.
Oh, never mind. Jim Page is here. So when Josh is done.
So what time should we do it?
I think you should go ahead. Josh is going to continue to speak. So we're going to hear from Jim Page after Josh. So after Jim Page, then we're going to march, okay? Everyone clear? We all know what we're doing? All right. Let's welcome Josh.
Thanks everyone for showing up. I was just talking to someone before I came up here about when I served in Iraq. I served in Iraq in 2004 or 2005. So that means that I left Iraq 6 years ago, and today we're still here. We're still talking about the occupation of Iraq. That's a travesty. Since I've been back to Iraq, I'm one of the co-founders of Coffee Strong, which is a GI coffee house right outside of Fort Lewis. Fort Lewis, for all those who don't know, is the third largest military base in the country and the largest base on the West Coast. Lakewood, Washington, where Coffee Strong is located, is very, very different from Seattle. We're on the front lines right now of trying to kickstart a GI resistance movement that can actually end this war. Now, if you want to help Coffee Strong, we have a website, givoice.org. We also, which you can basically log on, register, see how you can volunteer, see how you can help us out financially, because we're always fighting to keep open, and basically trying to maintain an anti-war presence that's somewhere that soldiers can readily access it. Now, Iraq, Afghanistan. There's a war going on right now in this country, but it's a war against working class people. And these wars are basically used, they're basically somewhere that we throw our money so that we can just, so that, you know, when people talk about budget cuts, they don't recognize that these wars could easily be ended and forward all the salaries for teachers and firemen and all these public services that are being cut. Right now, even myself, I'm ending a teaching program this year and have heard that the job market for teachers is awful right now because they're cutting teachers due to these wars. So as a soldier who basically fought in Iraq and now as someone who's trying to get started becoming a teacher, it just really shows how interconnected all this bullshit, all these lies really are. And also another thing is there's amazing things going on all over the world right now. Egypt, Tunisia, Wisconsin. There's all these, the working class is finally starting to wake up, and I think that's an amazing thing. But we need to not let progressives, the Democrats, co-opt these movements. Because right now, I know that there's an election coming up, and people are going to be throwing out the same bullshit they throw out every 4 years, which is the lesser of two evils argument. Right now, well, this is the lesser of two evils. It's continued, it's Bradley Manning's imprisonment, it's the continued occupation of Iraq, and the escalation of the war in Afghanistan, the continuation of the military-industrial complex. This, we need to do something different. If you think that electoral change can change this, you're delusional, and you need to wake up. So, anyway, being way off topic, support Coffee Strong, givoice.org, is that good? CoffeeStrong.org, and yeah, check us out. And thanks for showing up, and let's march.
Well, actually, not quite yet. We have Jim Page. He's arrived, and he'll be singing. And we also have these signs right over here. War is not the answer. If you don't have a sign, come get it. And what I meant to say was Naomi Klein, the shock doctrine we're experiencing in Wisconsin and Michigan, where they want to have an emperor instead of a government.
Which mic
do you want, Jim?
I'll have this one here. I love the way that it's held up there. I'm sorry to be late. They're working on the roads. They're working on the roads all over the world, it seems like.
Hey.
Sorry about that. Dropped the bomb in 45 to end the world war. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world watched with eyes wide to see where it would lead as the politics of power. Wrapped around the sea, there was a time to remember that we never can forget. They were playing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. They arose like the saviors of our modern human race, with radiation halos that hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure and treatment of our ills. A hot shot of cobalt, a pocket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy, who lurked across the seas while moving in among us like a carrier disease. Down deep inside the bunkers of the concrete and lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, building heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. And all you hear is the underground humming in the night, and the walls of tight security circle all around where they spill out all the poison and they bury it in the ground. Hold up in the harbors, hidden secretly away. The warheads and the submarines await to make their play. And the military masterminds improve on their designs, while the soldiers get all doped up and stumble through the lines. And the leaks in the water get carried by the tide. They call it national security. I call it attempted homicide. We'll be right back. to be trusted. With their hands at the controls, their eyesight is twisted with the glory of their careers. The heaped praise of flattery is music to their ears, and to listen to them talk about how it hasn't happened yet, the clay in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. I got time for one more real short one that I want to do. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for being late. That happens sometimes. What can I do? I think we should all, I'd like to dedicate at least part of this day to John T. Williams. At least part of this day to John T. Williams, okay? A victim of modern intercolonial society. America doing what it does best, which is get people out of the way. So this song is called I Want a New America, because I sure do, and I think you do too. And it goes like this. Well, I want a new America. This dust getting old. I'm tired of being hungry and I'm tired of being cold. I'm tired of getting lied to every time I turn around. I want a new America. Oh, this one's coming down. I want a new America. Yes, you heard me right. It's been so dark so long I can't remember what it's like. We've been leaving bloody fingerprints everywhere we go. I want a new America or something's gonna blow. Yes, it's a good idea. Yes, it can be true. I want a new America, and I think you do too. Yes, the change is coming. I can feel it in the wind. I want a new America. It's coming around the bend. It's coming around. It's coming around the bend. Yes. I want a new America, one where I can be proud, where I can hold my head up and I can say it right out loud. I'm tired of making excuses for every mess we make. I want a new America or something's gonna break. I want a new America. We can be better than this. We can learn to shake hands instead of always making a fist. Goodbye to playground bullies. Goodbye to guns and drums. I want a new America. The time has come. Yes, it's a good idea. Yes, it can be true. I want a new America, and I think you do too. Yes, the change is coming. I can feel it in the wind. I want a new America. It's coming around again. It's coming around. It's coming around again.
Thank you, Jim Page, one of our local heroes.